verse number 10. As many garlands are made from a heap of flowers, so one who is a mortal born should perform many ethically skillful deeds. Very attractive way of speaking about living an ethical life. Living by the precepts, especially their positive form, with deeds of loving kindness, with open-handed generosity, truthful communication and so on. That's like making beautiful flower garlands to give away, to adorn the world with. It's a lovely way of talking about living that life. You know, it's not some dour, heavy, you know, tight, rigid morality, Buddhist morality. It's the ethical life is the beautiful life. The Buddha always describes it as the beautiful life. There's another Dhammapada verse that goes, be quick to do what is beautiful, what is ethically beautiful. Be quick to do what is ethically beautiful. So, practicing the precepts, living like that, like making flower garlands. Verses 11 to 13. The fragrance of flowers, of sandalwood, of aromatic resin or jasmine, does not go against the wind, whereas the fragrance of the good does go against the wind. Sandalwood or aromatic resin, blue lotus or wild jasmine. Of all these kinds of fragrance, the odour of virtue is unsurpassed. Insignificant in comparison is this fragrance of aromatic resin and sandalwood. The fragrance of virtue it is that blows among the gods as the highest. So, these lovely description of these lovely, sweet-smelling perfumes and fragrances. Perfumes and fragrances, especially natural ones. Again, very, very popular in India. I can remember taking a long train journey once, a very, very long journey from North India to Western India. Took forever, and it seemed to take forever. And we were sitting with these men, and we were tired and dirty and hot, and they produced this sandalwood oil, and they just anointed it on our heads, and there's this lovely sweet smell, and this sort of soothing kind of feeling that came over. A wonderful experience. So very popular, these essential oils and so on. I mean, perfumes popular in the West as well, but they can be rather crude, let's face it. Here the Buddha is likening virtue, the good, the practice of ethics in the broadest sense, the cultivation of skillful and positive qualities, to the creation of perfume and incense and sweet odours. That goes against the wind, that goes against the forces of the world. It's the highest, the best fragrance that wafts up to the realm of the gods, these higher spiritual beings who embody higher states of consciousness. They're not enlightened, but they're beings who occupy higher states of meditation. They love that scent of the fragrance of people practicing virtue. They kind of live off it. And they'll reciprocate. Again, it's a very attractive way of looking at our spiritual practice, that we perfume the world through our ethics. We perfume the world. It's like the atmosphere you emanate. The spiritual life, the ethical life, you know, will generate an atmosphere around you. You'll give off something. So again, it's going away from this idea that the ethical life, the spiritual life, is something dour and harsh and hard and heavy. You're creating fragrance and perfume. And scent is incredible. It's incredibly powerful stuff. I mean, in India, I used to notice it very, very strongly. I mean, walking through a bazaar in India, I mean, you know, you could more or less close your eyes and you'd still have an intense experience as if you had your eyes open. You know, you kind of go along and almost like every inch there's a different smell, and it's very intense. You know, public urinal, absolutely appalling. The smell of deep fried, you know, bhajis, you know, onion fritters. Incense, this incredibly sweet incense. Flower garland shop, you know, and you're just kind of rocking, you know, along this incredible sort of, you know, the stench of rotting stuff on the floor, and then sweetness again. You know, you're really on a roller coaster ride. No wonder when I was first in India, I had incredible culture shock, which I've barely recovered from. but when you have when you have those sweet smells, you're so uplifted. So uplifted, you're just really taken into a different space, a different dimension. Really astonishing. Well, we should have that effect on the street, on other people. There should be an atmosphere. Let's aspire to emanating an atmosphere of loving kindness and happiness and goodness in the fullest sense. So that people, they kind of go past us and they go, wow, what was that? Kind of astonished. I know it sounds could sound fanciful, but I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I mean, that was, you know, that's what used to happen often with the Buddha and his disciples. People say, hey, who's that? I mean, I've noticed it more with groups of, you know, people in the Sangha. You know, if we've gone off, I can remember times going off on a train after a retreat, and there's a few of us going down to London or something, and we're sitting there, kind of just being ourselves, having a gas, you know, enjoying one another's company. And you can see people sort of looking across at us, and they're obviously trying to work out who are these people. Because, you know, we obviously really love each other, really enjoy each other. They can't work you out. You know, you're obviously not a group of football supporters. You're obviously not, you know, colleagues, you know, in an accountancy business or something. There's something else going on, and they're kind of intrigued by the atmosphere. They're intrigued by the atmosphere. So, I mean, you know, that does get generated when you have a group of people together. But it could just be you on your own generating that sort of atmosphere. So, yeah, astonish people by your vibe, by your atmosphere, by your perfume. And the contrary is too. It's also true. Don't put out a bad stink. Don't put out a really bad stink, a really bad vibe. I mean, you can feel that. That's kind of easier to spot sometimes, isn't it? You kind of see somebody, ooh, you know, stay away. You know, there's something really dark and heavy coming off this person. There's a pure land, a pure Buddha field. The Mahayana have these places, these incredible places, where everything is perfect for Dharma practice. And there's one called Sarvaganda Suganda, sweetly perfumed with all perfumes. And in this pure land, the Buddha teaches entirely through perfumes. Extraordinary kind of vision of things. Perfume, there's no words, it's all perfume. That is the way the Dharma's communicated, directly, subtly. And Sangharakshita has done a lecture on this called The Mystery of Human Communication, if you want to follow it up. It's from a lecture series on the Vimalakirti Nidesha. Really good stuff. Verse number 14. Mara does not find the path of those who are virtuous, who live mindfully, and who are freed through perfect knowledge. So this is where living the sweet and fragrant life leads. Mara can't get you. You can't be caught, you can't be got at, you can't be obstructed.